convention. And the first of the two will be a discourse by Brother Tim Krupa. And the title of his discourse is, Whose Friend Are You? Whose Friend Are You? And his opening hymn is hymn number 129. So we will go ahead with that now. Beautiful hymn. Again, Brother Tim's discourse title is Whose Friend Are You? And we will turn it over now to Brother Tim.
Brother Tim, if you could unmute and turn your camera on, please.
Brother Brett, do you see him in the room? He was a moment
yeah.
ago. He
does. Yes, he is. I do. And okay. Sister Colleen, who is going to assist as well, is here.
Okay.
As well. May just be a minute or two.
Okay.
Okay, there's Brother Tim's camera.
Okay.
And he is unmuted.
And Brother Tim, we can see you and I think we'll be able to hear you, so you can proceed.
Okay, I'll test that. I would love to be able to see my own PowerPoint. Can
well, Brother Tim, while you're looking at that, I have a message. Just somebody wants the title of your talk repeated, so I'll go ahead and do that. They're translating, I guess. It's Whose Friend Are You? Whose Friend Are You? For translation purposes.
Okay. How am I, let's review this. How's the voice level?
Fine.
Okay, is there any video?
All I see is just you. So I don't see any PowerPoint or video or anything other than you.
Okay, any chance of getting my PowerPoint on? I see it at my end.
So Brother Tim,
yes.
So find the Zoom find the Zoom screen. So, and then down at the bottom, there is a green share button.
Yes, I don't see the normal Zoom screen.
Click on your picture. Do you see your video of yourself?
No.
Okay.
Okay, now so, I do. Now okay. I do.
Now at the bottom, there should be a green button.
Share screen?
Yes.
Which it's one? Like, the first one?
Yes, monitor one.
There it goes, coming up.
And then go ahead and click on the yes, that's correct. And then okay. minimize your notes page.
Yeah, we're getting close.
So if you minimize looks your note page, here. Then you can then you'll be able to see your Word document on your second monitor then. So the button you're looking for is to the left of the X that's in the upper right corner. There's a double square.
Okay, so
on monitor number two.
I'll tell you what I okay, I think I'm all set.
Perfect. Lord bless.
Good afternoon, dear brethren. I have a question for Brother Brett before we get started. Brother Brett, was the interview with Brother Staszek from Poland recorded?
It was not, no.
Okay. All right. To me, it was the highlight of the weekend. And my only thought is that beyond prayer, those brethren also need our material help. So our topic this afternoon, and I will do my very best to keep on schedule and have this end at the appropriate time. So I may talk fast, and to the translators into Polish, I will let you know when I'm going to jump ahead in the script to leave out some things. So our topic this afternoon, I think, is appropriate to the report that we got from Poland, because our topic today is about friendship. Friendship. Are you my friend? That's the concept. Whose friend are you? Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Proverbs 18:24 says, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. So, do you know what a friend is? I think it's a very good idea to know what a friend is. The term friend is one of the language labels that's given to a relationship between two individuals. And that label describes how they feel, how they act, how they regard, how they behave toward each other. And this relationship called friends is also one of the descriptions used in the scriptures to describe the relationship between the members of the body of Christ. So that's why it's important. In John 15:15, Jesus says something that's quite profound. He says, from this time on, I do not call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Also in the third verse of John, in 3 John, verse 14, John, he's closing the letter. He says, peace be unto you, our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. So we see by the authority of both our master and the apostle John, this relationship between Christians is one called friends. The Greek word for friend is philos, Strong's 5384. It means to cherish, to be fond of, to be dear. Philos in the New Testament, in addition to being translated friend, is also in many places translated love.
Brother Tim, you intending to advance your slides? They are not advancing.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, don't be sorry. Thank you for your help. Okay, here's a 10-second review of everything I said. Whose friend are you? A friend loveth at all times. Greater love hath no man than this. John 15, henceforth I call you not friends. I call you not servants. I have called you friends. So it's a good thing that I'm presenting to a bunch of friends, because to say that we're professional is an overstatement. The Greek word is philos. All right, thank you. Brother Brent and Colleen, you can interrupt me absolutely anytime. So there's all kinds of friends. There's close friends, intimate friends, bosom friends, best friends, good friends, casual friends, devoted friends, faithful friends, trusted friends, inseparable friends. We sometimes use the expression friends of the family. In legal circles, there's a term called friends of the court. And sometimes we say, just like we heard of our report from Poland, we have a friend in need. We also say, though, that there's such a thing as a distant friend or a false friend, a fair weather friend, and former friend. So what does it take to be a good friend? True friendship has requirements. There's a recipe. There are ingredients. Why do we say this? Because we say it because there's many different kinds of friends. Now, scientists tell us that friendship has an actual physical effect on the human body. They say people without friends get sick more often. Statistics prove that people without friends have 5 to 10 times the rate of mental hospitalization. People without friends have 2 to 3 times the risk of dying than those of the same age group. People without friends have more cancer, more infections, have more increased rates of all illnesses. People without friends have more depression, more time lost of work, more accidents. These are hard, cold facts. So there's a real impact to being without a friend. And I would suspect the same thing is true. If it's true in the biological, it must be true in the spiritual world also. To explore this topic today, we're going to look at the lives of three personalities, all from the book of Genesis. Thank you. I know that. The greatest accolade that was of friendship was given to a man called Abraham. We are told that this man was a friend of Jehovah. What a statement. James 2, 21 and 23, speaking about Abraham, it says he was called the friend of God. Oh, do we wish that could be said of us? Isaiah 41, verse 8, Jehovah speaks and he uses the words, Abraham, my friend. And in 2 Chronicles 20.7, it's also documented. Isn't that remarkable? Just ponder that for a moment. What an incredible relationship to be called the friend of Jehovah. What was it about Abraham's life that made him a friend of Jehovah? that life had to have some important elements that created and maintained that relationship. So in looking at this, I came up with a list of seven possible values or characteristics that might be said to summarize the qualities that are required to be a friend. Seven possible elements. You know, if you only have one or two of these, it's not enough for a solid friendship. If you've got two or three, maybe you're casual friends, but you've got to have five or six of these elements to be really good friends. And of course, if you have them all and you have them to with significance, then you're going to be the best of friends. Certainly, my list is not perfect, but it's a start. The first thing that is required in friendship is that you share some things. You have to share common ideas. You have to share values, maybe most importantly, activities, interests, preferences, in order to be friends. If you don't share anything in common, you'll never be friends. Another thing you have to do is you have to understand each other. You have to communicate. Not only the obvious things, but you have to understand even the parts that are hidden from plain view. You have to respect each other. You have to consider the other person worthy of esteem. There's something about that person. You have to respect that it's of value. You have to believe there's something good about them. You respect that. Trust, number four. You have to believe the other person is honest, not two-faced, that they are constant, they're reliable, they're not a hypocrite. Number five, you have to accept them as they are. You can't change them. You're not trying to constantly improve them or make them like more like you are. You have to have tolerance for their mistakes and their errors. Number six, friends have loyalty. They're loyal to each other. It's important that you look out for each other, that you're constant, that you give support, that you're ready to help, and you would not abandon your friend when they are in need. And lastly, number seven, there's teaching and learning. Friends teach each other and they learn from each other. They both improve by their association. They grow, they expand, they develop, they become more fulfilled. This idea of friendship reminds me of a word that's not very common, but it's a fun word, symbiosis. It's from biology. You probably remember it. Symbiosis is the interaction between two different organisms living in close physical association, typically to the advantage of both. It's not a situation where one takes advantage of the other. That in biology is called a parasite. Friendship is a mutually beneficial relationship between different people and groups. It works for both parties. It kind of reminds me of a research study that I read about that measured a person's IQ, their intelligence quotient. And the study wanted to know if a person's IQ changed as they got older. And they wanted to know, does your IQ go up as you age or does it go down? Well, here's what the study found out. They found out that your IQ does change. And it depends on the average IQ of your five closest acquaintances. If you have smart acquaintances, your IQ, as you get older, goes up. If you have not so smart acquaintances, it goes down. And it's so it is with the elements of friendship. To a large degree, you become much like your friends. And that's why it's important for all of us to know something about friendship and how to be a friend. So let's go back to Abraham now and see where this list of seven elements fits in. The first step in the friendship is sharing. What did Abraham share with Jehovah? Well, there were a number of things. They both valued righteousness. They both knew the difference between good behavior and bad behavior. They knew the difference between justice and injustice. Their life principles were similar. They had the same opinion as to what was important in life. And in Genesis 12, the first few verses, because of what they shared, when Jehovah said to Abraham, I want you to move, Abraham did not hesitate, and he was more than willing to leave the heathen land. And then Jehovah shared with Abraham the intention of blessing all the families of the earth. And from that point on, they shared that vision of a better day for mankind. They both had the vision of a day of blessing, and they shared the belief that that world of unrighteousness, which even existed in Abraham's day, was not the final state for mankind. Since Jehovah and Abraham shared many important things, things of value, they were able to go on to the next step, which was understanding. Understanding requires communication. Messages had to be exchanged. The words had to be understood. The intentions were always clear. The message sent was the message received. This understanding is evident in Genesis 15, as they discussed and they communicated regarding the seed of promise. Now, Abraham did not fully understand it the first, but we see the understanding grows as the friendship grows. In Genesis 17, we see this dialogue about the promised seed. And the first understanding for Abraham was at the Eliezer level, his servant. Abraham first thought that his servant would have to be the seed, because Abraham did not at that moment have an actual physical genetic heir. But that wasn't the right understanding. The understanding got a little bit better when Abraham thought that the seed was Ishmael. But that was not the complete understanding either. The real understanding came finally at the Isaac level. So it took some back and forth before the understanding was clear. And that's what friends do. Understanding grows as friends communicate. In Genesis 18, we have an incredible dialogue, a communication between Jehovah and Abraham. This is where Abraham speaks regarding the destruction of Sodom. You remember the story. Maybe we should say where Abraham debates with Jehovah about Sodom. Nowhere in the literature of the human race is there a more eloquent dialogue between a mere mortal and the highest ruler of the universe. Not in Greek literature, Babylonian, Egyptian, is there a communication recorded like this. Abraham says, if there be 40 righteous, will you spare the city? 30? 20? Abraham says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I speak but this once more. If there be 10 righteous, only friends can talk like that to each other. Abraham and Jehovah had a good understanding with each other. Number three, respect. These two respected each other. In Genesis 18:17, it's recorded, Jehovah speaks. Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Respect means the other is worthy of dealing with. The other has value. There's something good about the other person. Friends don't hide anything from their friends. Friends tell you everything. Trust. They trusted each other. Abraham trusted Jehovah with his son's life. And in Genesis 22, Jehovah trusted Abraham with the most incredible promise of blessing ever made. Acceptance. This may be the biggest key to any friendship. They accepted each other. Again, what a contrast between these two. One was the highest spirit being in the universe, and the other was a desert living nomadic sheik. Abraham accepted Jehovah as he was. He didn't try to make him into a heathen god or a multiple-headed god or a stone god or a gold god. Jehovah did the same with Abraham. Abraham was a simple herdsman. Jehovah didn't try to make him into a pharaoh. Friends accept the other person for what they are, not for what they want them to be. And accepting doesn't mean just agreeing and liking the good qualities and actions, but also accepting their weaknesses and their inadequacies. Number six, Abraham was loyal all his life, all his life. He offered his son Isaac, Genesis 22. Jehovah was loyal beyond Abraham's life, loyal to his seed, to endless generations. Loyalty means support. Abraham was Jehovah's ambassador. In Genesis 21, 22, we see that even the heathen recognizes. They said, Jehovah is with thee in everything that you do. It was obvious, even to the heathens, that Abraham was Jehovah's supporter. Number seven, teaching and learning. Well, it's difficult to imagine Jehovah learning anything from a man, but Abraham was a free-thinking, free decision-making creature. He was creative. He came up with new ideas. He argued his point of view with his friend. And despite Jehovah's great foreknowledge, Abraham was not a robot. Jehovah watched, he accepted, and he was delighted on a daily basis with Abraham's efforts. So what was the final result of all these characteristics? It was something called friendship. They became really good friends. There was a caring, there was a feeling, there was an emotion, there was an affection between them. This was a philos. Now we can notice what friendship was not and what friendship is not. It's not owning the other person. Jehovah didn't own Abraham. Abraham was not a puppet where Jehovah pulled all the strings. Jehovah shared Abraham with family, with angels, with many, many worldly contacts. And likewise, Abraham did not own Jehovah. It was not an exclusive relationship. He shared Jehovah with everyone he could. There was no exploitation, no continual asking for favors, no manipulation. There was respect for the other person's time, individuality, personhood. Abraham and Jehovah were good friends. They were the best of friends. Our second example that we're going to look at is Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Jacob had a lengthy relationship with Jehovah. But Jacob was a different personality. Later writers, biblical historians, scholars did not give him the label of friend of Jehovah like they did his grandfather Abraham. But he was a friend of Jehovah, maybe a different kind of friend. And in this respect, there's a big lesson here. One person can have different kinds of friends whose personalities and characteristics greatly contrast. You can have tall friends, short friends, intellectual friends, not so intellectual friends. You can have emotional friends, not so emotional friends, all kinds of friends. Within the Bible students, you can have friends that you've known for forever. At the same time, you can have friends that you've just met. Jehovah was still Jacob's friend, even though Jacob was very different than Abraham. Because you have different kinds of friends, doesn't mean that you lessen your friendship with any of them. Let's review as briefly as possible some of the highlights of Jacob's life. And let's see if we can recognize the elements of friendship. Now, Jacob was the second born of Isaac and Rebekah. He purchased the firstborn birthright from his brother Esau. Jacob was a hard worker, sometimes deceitful. In Genesis 28:12, Jacob had a dream, and in that dream, Jehovah spoke blessing to him. In Genesis 31, Jehovah instructs Jacob to go back to his homeland and makes a promise to Jacob, I will be with you. Jehovah speaks to him in verses 11, 12, and 13. In Genesis 31, Jacob's father-in-law, Laban, was warned by Jehovah not to hurt Jacob. In verse 42, Jacob says, if Jehovah had not been with me, I would be empty-handed. In chapter 32, verse 2, angels are sent to Jacob. Verse 9, Jacob prays to Jehovah. Verse 24, Jacob wrestles with Jehovah's messenger, an angel. Verse 28, Jacob's name is changed to Israel. And here is a very special event in verse 30. Jacob says, I saw Jehovah face to face, and yet my life was spared. Chapter 35, verse 14, Jacob talks again with Jehovah. I will skip to Genesis 46, 2, when the family wants Jacob to move to Egypt. Jacob is very concerned about leaving what was now his homeland, but Jehovah speaks to Israel and reassures him in verse 2, Jacob, Jacob, do not fear to go to Egypt. I will be with you. You will die with Joseph at your side. So did you see the elements, the seven elements of friendship? They shared a lot of things. One of the greatest things they shared was the promised blessing. They shared the fact that of Abraham. They shared Abraham. Abraham was Jehovah's friend and Jacob was his grandson. They also understood each other, Jacob and Jehovah. They had a lot of conversations back and forth. And there was respect. I didn't see it at first, but Jehovah respected Jacob in spite of his shortcomings. Jehovah saw inherent qualities of goodness and devotion and belief. Number four, there was trust. Even though at times Jacob sometimes trusted more the arm of flesh and sometimes the persuasive power of bribery, but there was still trust between the two. And there was acceptance. The acceptance of Jacob by Jehovah was even more incredible because of Jacob's immaturity. The acceptance was there, even though Jacob was almost dishonest at times. And six, Jacob's loyalty was unquestioned. And we see that as he grew older, he became more and more mature. There are other details, of course, but with this quick review, I think it's clear that we can see the ingredients of friendship in the relationship between Jehovah and Jacob. One of the things that I particularly like about the relationship between Jacob and Jehovah is that in chapter 46, Jehovah is speaking, and in verse 2, it says, "And Jehovah spake unto Israel." You remember that Jacob's name had been changed to Israel. Verse 2 continues, "And Jehovah spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and Jehovah said, Jacob, Jacob, fear not to go down into Egypt. I will be with you." Did you hear that? Did you get that? Jehovah called him Jacob. I think that is so touching. I just love that. His name had been changed to Israel. But now at this important point, Jacob is now an old man. Here were two old friends, and Jehovah uses his original name, the name he had when their friendship was just beginning, and Jehovah says to him, "Jacob, Jacob." How sweet is that? The two old friends, they've got their arms around each other, and that was the last recorded time that they spoke. You see what kind of a friend Jehovah is? Jacob was half the man his grandfather was, but Jehovah was still his friend. That's a good lesson for us. You know, Abraham was a superstar. Jacob was ordinary in so many respects. But Jehovah was a friend to each of them because he saw, he felt, he experienced enough of the criteria to be a friend, to understand each other, to share, to accept, respect, and trust. They could still be friends. Do we have a natural tendency to only want to be friends of the superstars? It's an easy thing to do. We have to look beneath the surface of our acquaintances to find the qualities that Jehovah requires for friendship. And looking for the qualities that Jehovah looks for, that means that we will be friends with all those who are friends with Jehovah. Jude said, "Keep yourselves in the love of Jehovah." And that's strictly up to us. Jehovah's not going to change. So it's important for us to ask ourselves, to those who are around us, how good a friend am I? What limits my friendships? As I look at the list, do I see barriers to a better friendship? Is it trust? I don't trust enough. Sharing? You know, if we can't be friends with Jehovah's friends, I think it'll strain our relationship with Jehovah himself. So we really need to know, because there's all kinds of friends. There's close friends, intimate friends. There's best friends, good friends, faithful friends. But you know, there are also fair weather friends, distant friends, false friends, and former friends. One of the saddest situations is that of former friends. People do change. And as each grows and changes in his or own way, his or her own way, the basis of the friendship can change. It's a little bit like going back to a high school reunion for the 30th year reunion, and you see your best friend from 30 years ago. And now you find out you have very little in common. Someone you used to know, and now you have nothing to talk about, Now there's nothing to share. It's just not the same as it was. So we know that if we're talking about friendship with the world, that's okay. That's a good thing that it's changed. But unfortunately, friendship can also change between brethren in Christ. How does that happen? Are we sharing less things? Maybe we used to go to all the meetings together. Maybe we used to see them at conventions. Have we stopped answering their emails, returning the calls? Has the communication gotten superficial? Many times one of the parties violates the requirements of friendship. The trust is broken. Acceptance is withheld. They do something. We don't like it. Maybe there's an actual act of disloyalty. Whatever changes, it's just not the same as it used to be. This condition is called former friends. One of the greatest friendships, one with the incredible potential that degraded into a former friendship, was Father Adam's friendship with Jehovah. This is in Genesis 2, 3, and 4. We know all the good things that Jehovah did for Adam. He was placed in a beautiful garden. It had trees. It had animals. And Adam was allowed to name the animals. Adam was given a helpmate. These were all acts of Jehovah's love and friendship. And Genesis 3:8 clearly implies that the two spoke regularly together. But Adam's friendship with Eve interfered with his friendship with Jehovah. And unfortunately, Adam couldn't see how he could be friends with both. And so he violated one friendship for the sake of the other. And the relationship of Adam and Jehovah changed. Adam had insufficient ingredients in the friendship formula. He didn't have enough understanding. He didn't trust. He wasn't loyal. So he lost a friend. Adam had to fight the thorns and thistles, and he had to till that cursed ground. But that did not compare to the sadness, the emptiness of having lost communication with Jehovah. Adam lost his best friend. In a spiritual sense, we have the same risk. If we have inadequate trust, failure to keep current, if we have moments of disloyalty, if we don't completely devote time and keep upright every principle, if we're weak in support, if we fail to learn and continue to learn, we run a great risk of losing our status of friendship. Jehovah accepts us for what we are. He doesn't want us to be perfect. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He wants effort. He wants improvement. He wants loyalty. He wants what's on that list of ingredients for friendship. He doesn't expect you to be an Einstein or a superstar. He wants you to just be a friend. How can I say just be a friend when just is so deep and so beautiful? When I looked at the list of everybody attending this convention, I see the list was filled with my friends. I see old friends, friends that I had when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, lifelong friends. I see new friends. I see good friends. I see best friends. I see some who are not yet my friends. And I also see some that are casual friends, distant friends. And you know what? If I'm not careful, maybe even some will be former friends. We all know the importance of agape love. And sometimes we are intimidated by the concept of perfect agape love. I am. And it's a big concept. Personally, I'm challenged with it. And I don't know how to make that big step to agape love. But what I think I can do, and what I think I, not think, what I am going to do is to be a better friend. I think that will help me on the path to agape love, to be a philos. And so, my dear friends, I'm about to turn it back to my good friend, Brother Brand, as chairman. But I want to tell you that the friends in Seattle send you their warm Christian love and greetings. It was really nice to see the friends from Poland, from Europe, all signed into this wonderful convention. My best friend Dawn has been here. She sends you her love and greetings. Pray for all the friends. I hope the friends get something out of this discourse. Let's be friends. Be a friend of the Heavenly Father. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for those insights into friendship. We all appreciate your discourse. Well, brethren, the closing hymn that Brother Tim has chosen is 32, hymn number 32. And then we'll immediately go into our intermission, our last intermission, and resume at 45 minutes after the hour. So hymn number 32.
Come all ye saints to Pisgah's mountain. Come you our home beyond the tide. Sing on the other side. Up there see the white throne of glory and crowns which the saints then shall gain. And all who shall love Christ appearing shall be blessed by his glorious reign. Oh, the prospect it is so transporting, reapers hasten to gathering we pray. We rejoice in the glory that's promised, and the dawn of millennial day. Then springs of light there be flowing. Walk with the trees by the river. sing the glad songs of